This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie. And with us in the studio, we have Alan Eustace, who is the technical advisor. And we have Ben Diachin, who is the president of Opener.
Thanks for having us. We're glad to be here.
Tell us about your project.
Opener is one of the early leaders in electric vertical takeoff and landing aircraft. Our founder, Marcus Ling, many years ago actually decided that the inertial measurement units that were coming at the time, the electric power that was available, battery power, electric motors, were all coming together in a way that would allow and enable electric vertical takeoff and landing. You know, when I first heard about it, I said, oh no, the battery power isn't there, the electric motors aren't there, the weight's too much. Believe it or not, he managed to pull that together, started a company called Opener. He actually built a first prototype in his garage in Canada and did the first vertical takeoff and landing in an electric vehicle probably ever. Now he started a company and we're in the process of building production vehicles, so it's a very exciting time.
A more detailed description of the vehicle would be a man-carrying drone.
Drone technology is obviously interesting, but this is kind of a cross between what you think of as an aircraft and what you think of as a helicopter, but it doesn't look like either of them in some ways. It's got two vertical lifting things, which you'd think of as wing, a forward wing and a backward wing. And in cruise flight, that's actually extremely efficient and actually requires a significant decrease in the amount of electric power that you have. Whereas a drone, when I think of a drone, I think of something that has a bunch of motors just facing down.
Exactly.
And never has a wing lifting component.
Right. So you are achieving flight through the standard wing lifting.
Yes, but can do vertical takeoff and landing as well. So it's a hybrid. And it's an interesting hybrid because the way the motor technology is set up, the motors are actually fixed. They do not rotate, as you might see in an Osprey or something like that, which makes it much lighter, much cheaper. And the really amazing thing about Blackfly is that the team has gotten the weight down to the point that it can satisfy the requirements of the ultralight regulations. So that means it doesn't require certification, and it also doesn't require a pilot's license. Or I think a better way to say it is we get to determine the certification process, and we're extremely stringent. And we also get to determine the pilot training as well, which will also be equally stringent. But the vehicle itself is amazingly capable.
One of the things that has always concerned me with electric multi-rotor flight like the Blackfly here is backup systems. You've got one battery, you've got four motors. What happens if you have a catastrophic failure, especially if the battery decides to go boom on you? How are you going to get back to the ground safely?
Gravity works well, every time, man.
I said safely.
Ben, why don't you take that one?
Sure. I'm Ben. I'm the new president at Opener. I joined Marcus and Alan about 2 months ago in the great Opener team. I'm really excited by the technology, and what the mission has been and the focus has been is to make sure we have a safe vehicle. So to your question, we could have made it faster or higher, but we really focused on, rather than the performance being first, we focused on safety being first and then having performance that we get with a real safe vehicle. So we have a triple redundant flight control management system. We have 8 propulsion systems. Each one is modular and independent. We've done extensive testing, 23,000 miles of testing, 2,300 flights. And in that, we have done things like test for zones going out. We can fly an entire quadrant. So if, the front left wing goes out, that's 2 motors, 2 battery sets, we can safely land the vehicle. If a battery pack were to go down or to catch on fire, we've tested for that, and we can safely return the vehicle to home and land that.
So you're saying that each motor on this thing is powered by its own separate independent battery pack?
Correct.
Okay, so you've got 8 battery packs instead of one big one that powers everything.
It's even better than that in some ways, because if a battery pack fails, the motor doesn't necessarily have to fail. You can actually draw power from other batteries in that particular case, and you can turn off a battery. So in that case, you know, you have more redundancy than you might normally have just for a single battery pack. The other thing that's interesting is we have a lot of excess power. I mean, it turns out with these electric motors, they're so powerful. So if we get a failure of one motor, the first thing we do is shut off the paired motor.
So that
you remain symmetrical. But we can even take a failure even after that and still survive. And we've tested the basic motor that was designed. We've tested that in the lab using exactly the same pattern, like a high power takeoff, then cruise, then landing to the point where the battery is almost depleted, then recharge it, do the same thing over and over again. And we've tested one of those motors from here to the moon and back, run continuously for 2 years. So not only are the individual components incredibly safe, they're also redundant.
Right.
And so that combination, we feel like, is going to really dramatically increase
safety.
So like
with cross-feed in a, say, a gasoline-powered aircraft, you can cross-feed battery power to whatever is requirements you need.
And it's automatic. You don't
that
have
was
to
the next question. Is that automatic?
Yeah.
So in other words, you're sitting there and it may flash a warning light, but by the time you get the warning light, the system has already taken care of it.
Exactly. That's
so you may not even notice that.
In theory, you wouldn't feel the change.
But now, once that happens, standard procedure is going to be land now.
You probably wouldn't have to. I mean, each of these things, the procedures for how you would handle each of these different things are. But we've tested, we purposely fail pretty continuously, honestly, as far as the testing process. Test it at the worst possible time, in the worst possible configuration, to make sure that that vehicle, and if you look up at it, the control systems are so good, you will not even notice. One of the first motor failures that we ever had, we didn't even notice. I mean, the aircraft flew its entire circuit, flew for 25 minutes, came in and landed, and we noticed that one of the engine mounts had actually failed, and that motor wasn't working anymore. It wasn't even connected.
Wow.
And we didn't even notice it. So the amount of time and effort that's gone into safety in this vehicle is, I think, unprecedented, and certainly for a vehicle in this category.
You have to assure the public that it is safe, because the perception is, you know, these motors stop, this thing falls.
Well, not to mention, we're going to be flying in them, so.
Yeah, that's a good incentive as well.
What kind of batteries are you using in this?
These are commercially available batteries that we've sourced specifically for this application.
They're off-the-shelf batteries?
That's correct.
That means that they should be reasonably inexpensive to replace when it comes time? Reasonably,
not
I
yet.
Said.
They're getting there.
That's the right thinking.
All right.
What kind of range are you getting out of this vehicle right now?
So we're operating it as an ultralight. And in the U.S., we can do 26 miles as an ultralight. The vehicle's capable of more of that than that. So we're working with the regulators to be able to open up how we fly and what certification we fly under so we can get the full performance of the vehicle in the future.
It's also, I imagine, capable of busting the ultralight speed limit quite easily.
That too, yeah. So we're limiting our speed to 62 miles an hour, which is our ultralight cap on the speed. And again, working to be able to open that up so we can really get the full performance.
I'm assuming there's a lot of computer augmentation on your flight controls?
That's correct. Let me add one more thing on the ultralight regulations. We're also doing a lot of our testing in Canada. Canada has a separate set of regulations which allow a higher weight limitation, and they take away the speed restriction. So in those cases, since we can have a heavier vehicle, we're capable of putting more batteries in it and extending that range pretty significantly, almost doubling it.
Single seat, right?
Single seat.
All rules aside, what would be the ultimate range that you would shoot for?
Well, the vehicle's designed so that for a commute. So what would be a reasonable commute distance? So we think we're capable and would like to get multiples of that 26, and we think we're capable of that.
Okay.
Live in the country, commute to the city.
All it is just bigger battery packs. It's not rocket science.
Well, it's bigger, but you got to keep the weight relatively
right.
low.
Right. Well, that is the key with this system is weight. That's the killer.
Anyway, now you guys have been test flying for quite a while, and I understand you've done something with one of your early prototypes.
Blackfly 12 was one of the first manned version 2 vehicles or capable of the manned flight. We flew it autonomously as well. We're donating that to the museum at the EAA this week. It's currently out in front of the Innovation Showcase Pavilion, and we'll go into the museum in August after the show's over this week.
I'm assuming that you guys use a lot of carbon fiber in this.
No, it's all bubble gum, and old newspapers.
And paper mache.
Yeah, paper mache. Handles everything but rain.
Please don't go there.
You're correct. It's a carbon fiber aircraft, and that's used to keep the weight down. It's amazing, a simple aircraft. These are both lightweight, but incredibly strong materials.
Are the batteries all centrally located?
And I think that's a wonderful thing about this vehicle is that we actually put the batteries with the motors.
With the motors.
And that actually has really nice properties. Obviously, since the current has to go a smaller distance, then you have less resistance, so you lose less in the distribution. But more importantly, you know, batteries are things that you don't want to pack a lot of batteries around a human being. Just like a plane, we like to put the fuel in the wings because it's away from the passenger compartment. There are aircraft where you sit on your fuel tank, but that's probably not the way that you'd want to design an aircraft if you started from scratch.
Right. Projected production numbers? Have you guys gotten that far yet? Thinking about how many of these you want to sell?
We now have a conforming prototype. Now, the language of the kind of experimental thing.
In other words, you're happy with it.
We're happy with the prototype. We've made an incredible number of changes since last year to build a better structure, an easier to manufacture structure. We've cleaned up all of the interconnections between things, gotten rid of the small places where we had spaghetti of wires, and now we have really elegant components that can be rechangeable really easily. We've added a lot of new modifications modifications, these winglets that are easier to take on and put off and allow us to change some configuration. So we've gone through every piece of this aircraft and actually done redesign. We've reduced the drag on the aircraft a lot. It's just been an incredible process. We're in the process of now doing parachute testing for emergency parachute deployment. We've already done a little bit of that, but we're doing more of it now. This year is all about taking that flyable and actually, right, you know, very capable vehicle and turning it into something that we can manufacture. And we're manufacturing now. We're starting a run of, you know, 30 to 100 vehicles, and we're learning as we go through that process.
Well, I want to thank you guys for joining us. We'll be out later to Glom a free flight.
I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is Digital Dave, and this is EAA Radio.